When I was a kid, one of the things that I loved about Christmas was the smell of my mother's cooking that she would start at 5 a.m. every Christmas morning while we slept. Now, I have not kept that tradition. I do not get up at 5 o'clock in the morning, but I do get up early to start a Christmas meal. But the aroma of my mother's cooking always awoke us with a smile. We would wake up and we'd rush to the Christmas tree and we'd find each of us a present, maybe two, because there were so many of us. There were 8 children and we didn't have very much. But after opening our gifts and playing with them, we would eventually be called to the table when the meal was ready and the guests had arrived. And we always had guests around our table. My parents knew that there was always somebody who needed to have a place to belong and a family to love them. And so we'd gather around this table with the meal ready, and we'd bless the food, and we began to eat together. The table was always full of laughter and joy and jokes and love and wisdom. And it was around this table that as we talked and ate, that the elders and the older people at the table, my parents, my aunts, my uncles, and grandparents, would impart their wisdom to us. One that's probably familiar to all of us is, don't talk with your mouth full. How many of you did that and heard your grandparents or an elder tell you that at the table, right? That word of wisdom kept a lot of us from choking. Today we celebrate, friends, the Feast of the Holy Family. Mary, Joseph, and Jesus. But you know what? They aren't the only Holy Family that we honor today. Each of you represents a holy family. To be holy meant to be sacred or blessed, a place of sanctuary for God, a place where God could call home, a place where God's message and God's presence would dwell. Jesus came to be part of our human family, so that makes our families holy. Every time we take care of and care for the poor, every time we bring glad tidings, every time we practice humility, every time we include others, commit to and do the work of social and racial justice, and live compassionately, we are creating sanctuary. We are creating holiness for God, a space for God to call home. Many of us learn to do that from the older people in our lives, our elders, who teach us how to be holy. Those who provide words of wisdom and model it, helping us to understand what holy looks like and what holy feels like. Catherine Flannery, a parishioner, told me that when she was growing up, her parents and grandparents were always generous with time and goods, and they always served the community without thought of what was in it for them. Barb Simmons, another parishioner, told me that her dad was very generous with the little that he had. Her mother was the most welcoming and non-judgmental person she knew. She was a firm believer that every person had equal value and that no person is more worthy than another. Elaine Erblan, who's one of our Spark members, told me that her paternal grandmother didn't have much, but what she had was done with much love. She gave us herself and time with her, which meant so much to me, she said. I look forward to my weekends with her. She taught me that life doesn't cost anything, and when freely given, it is the best gift ever. Catherine, Barb, and Elaine's family modeled what it meant to be holy. In the gospel, we find the holy family of Mary and Joseph taking Jesus to the temple. According to Jewish tradition, they had to wait for Mary's days of purification to be completed so that she could present Jesus to God. You see, in the Jewish law, when a woman gave birth to a son, she was seen as ceremonially impure or unclean, and she had to take a total of about 40 days before she could go to the temple to worship and present her child. Now, granted, childbirth is messy, but labeling a woman unclean because of it, I think it's a little excessive. But this was an ancient equivalent to modern maternity leave. And so this time relieved Mary and many women who had children of the many social obligations expected of women. And new mothers often welcomed these days of rest and seclusion and bonding with their new baby. Mary was no different. And so it was on this occasion that Simeon and Anna, two elders, meet Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, and speak their words of wisdom to them, their words of blessing, thanksgiving over their lives, words to live by. So entering the temple, they encounter these two older people, Simeon and Anna, in the temple. So Simeon had been promised by the Spirit that he would not see death until he laid his eyes on the Christ child. And this was his lucky day. Anna was 84 years old. She was a prophetess who loved God, and she spent her days and nights fasting in the temple, worshiping with expectation. These two older people who never gave up. We don't know how long they were waiting for the prophecy to be fulfilled to see the Messiah, but they never gave up on having an encounter with the Christ child. Every one of us can probably recount our encounter with Jesus. Maybe it was in hardship, a time of struggle in your life, in nature, or a time of joy, like the birth of a baby. And if you haven't had that special encounter yet, don't give up. Simeon and Anna didn't. These elders were at the temple day after day, year after year, even as their eyesight may have been getting worse, or their hearing getting dimmer, or their hair getting grayer. They may have even begun to find it difficult to get down and up on their knees to pray, but they never tired of being faithful and trusting that God would allow them to see this Christ child Jesus as promised. You see, Anna was a widow like myself. She had only been married 7 years with her husband, and then he died. It was then that she bound her heart to God. And often it is tragedy in our lives that bring us closer to God. You know, it's not easy being a widow. Many of you are widows and widowers who have lost your spouse, know that. Sometimes you have to learn how to do things that you never did before, like enter an empty house, drive a car, cook a meal for the first time, pay the bills, do the yard work, laundry, vacation alone, grocery shop, go to church and family functions by yourself. And the hardest is getting used to setting a table for one. When you become a widow or widower, you're forced to start a second phase of your life, ready or not. It would have been easy for them to give up hope, for Anna to give up hope, but Anna and Simeon remained hopeful, putting their faith and trust in God. In fact, Anna was the first Christian preacher in the Bible. The text says that she spoke to anyone who would listen to her about this child. She preached of his arrival as the Christ child and his calling and his destiny. What faith they modeled for us, friends. Simeon was waiting on the promise that he would see Christ before he died, and he did. After he holds this baby and offers a blessing, he says to God, God, you can now dismiss me. You can let me go in peace. I could die right now. My eyes have seen your salvation that you've prepared, a light for revelation for the Gentiles and glory for your people, Israel. Simeon knew that the world was in great hands. Jesus is on the scene. He saw salvation and light and glory in Jesus for his people and for the world. And they were amazed at what they were told. And then he turns to Mary and he speaks to her about Jesus' destiny, his impact, his challenges that he'll face, and the heartache that Mary, his mother, will suffer as he will lay down his life for us, knowing that she would watch him die, her son, on the cross. Anna saw the redemption of Jerusalem in him. These older folks had waited on this for a long time. And together they show us how to remain hopeful when what we expect to happen in our lives take longer than we anticipated. What is it that you're still waiting on God to do in your life that has taken longer than you expected? What are you hoping for? What are you wanting to see before you die? An end to racism? Your children grow up, an end to violence and injustice in the world. The wisdom of the elders teach us how to remain hopeful and faithful how to trust, how to believe. Because just because things in life we wait for are delayed doesn't mean that they are denied. Older people like Simeon and Anna, they not only teach us how to have faith, but they remind us of the wisdom that elders bring forth to our world. This past fall, you remember I helped organize adding 100 elders to the front lines of the protest for Daniel Prude, following the original idea of elders by my two good friends, Shirley and Jim Thompson, who tried to execute the idea the night before, but were foiled by the police. When I announced the idea, people were skeptical. They had images of me putting older people at risk and getting them hurt. When I called for elders, it was from a cultural model of wisdom that I understood, often used in the Black community. And I was very familiar with it, and I knew it would work. As elders, we showed our city how to come alongside of a hurting community, how to hold the community's pain and grief. We modeled how to speak truth without judgment, how to attend to trauma. These elders and older people modeled courage as they interacted with protesters and police. They never hesitated, sharing their hearts and life lessons with whoever needed to hear them in the moment. The wisdom of these elders changed the trajectory of our protest, and it showed the system that there was another way to move forward without responding violently towards its citizens. Another elder that we've been gifted with is Dr. Fauci, whose wisdom has guided us in this world. When this pandemic started in March, we shut down, and many of us thought perhaps it was only going to last a few weeks to a few months. But being one of our nation's elders, Dr. Fauci told us that this could last more than a year. He called on us to be patient as they learned more about this virus and worked towards a vaccine. Amid our uncertainty, our anxiety, and our fear, Fauci led us with great wisdom. And as we followed his instructions to social distance and wear masks and limit contact, we have indeed welcomed a vaccine that has promised to change our future. His words of wisdom have saved many lives, even as we have lost over 300,000 to this virus. In our gospel today, Mary and Joseph were benefactors of the wisdom of Simeon and Anna. These two older people concerning Jesus, their child, that they were being chosen to raise for such an important mission in the world. Growing up as a child, my life was also shaped by the wisdom of older people and elders, like my grandmother. I remember when I would become frustrated with the way I would be treated by someone or saw others being treated, and I would complain to my grandmother. She would just look at me with that corner smile, and she would say, "Baby, don't worry about it. If they knew better, they'd do better. Just put it in God's hands. He will work it out." She also would say things like, "Love others as Christ loves you. And if you step in mess the first time, go around it the next time. Put God first, and God will direct your path." And I'm sure if you take a minute, many of you, to think about it, you can think about all of the benefactors of older people's wisdom in your lives, all the ways that we've benefited from their wisdom. I put up a post recently on Facebook saying that I was thinking about the wisdom of elders in my life and the many things that they taught me. And I asked people what wisdom that they gained from the elders in their lives. And so as we honor the wisdom of elders today in our Holy Family and those who bless the Holy Family, here are some of the things that they shared that I will leave you with today. Maybe you will hear some things that resonate with you from your own tradition. And maybe you'll hear something that's new that will be a blessing to your life, as it was to mine as I read them. Our older folks and elders like Anna and Simeon and those in our families are constantly blessing us, offering thanks, speaking prophetically into our lives, and sharing the wisdom that we need. So I invite you to close your eyes and listen to the wisdom of the elders shared by our Facebook family. "I learned how not to judge others because you never know what someone is going through, and not to gossip and talk about anyone because none of us are perfect. If you can't help someone, then stay silent. I learned to respect your elders, stay humble, and do for others. I learned to love God with all my heart, to be humble, to give kindness. For my life, I could be a very angry person, but because God loves me, made me in God's image and likeness, I also taught it to my children. You never hate anyone. Hate is a very strong word. You may dislike someone, but never hate them. I learned to be quiet when elders are talking, as not to miss their pearls of wisdom. They taught me if you can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all. I learned that giving is always better than receiving. Generosity is the key. The second wisdom I learned is to be non-judgmental. My abuelo taught me, it will be all right, don't worry. They taught me that nothing in life is free. If you want something, you have to work for it, and you'll appreciate it much more when you do. I learned that girls often grow up to women that don't often recognize their worth. That gave me something to be aware of and to work harder to recognize. I learned how to speak from the heart, even if you lose your hearing and your sight. When I asked my mom why she was pursuing her second master's at 62 years old, she said, "You always need a next." She was speaking of hope and aspiration. When I feel despairing, I think about what is next. For as long as I can remember, our very humble but wise mom and dad would model and remind their children to give without expecting praise or a gift in return. They instilled in us when we give to others, it is indeed a gift of its own. I learned from my grandmother to pay attention when someone is trying to share their talents with you. She patiently watched and smiled as I demonstrated every dance routine I ever learned. The elders in my life taught me to look on the bright side. Tomorrow brings new light to a matter. My mother told me, "You never know who you will need to pour you a glass of water, so be kind to everyone." My dad simply modeled showing up. This is the wisdom of the elders. What wisdom are you carrying that has helped you in your life? Perhaps you want to share it in our chat. And maybe Father Jim's next book will be The Wisdom of the Elders. So today we offer gratitude, friends, for the wisdom of older people and elders in our lives. They often help us see past the moments that we are in as we wait on God to make things better. So thank you, Simeon and Anna, for waiting for Jesus to arrive. Thank you for helping Mary and Joseph live more purposely, more focused. Thank you for helping them to understand who they were called to be on that very special day. And thank you to all you elders and older people who continue to share your wisdom with us when we need it. Our world is forever in need of what you have to offer. So keep doing it, especially in such times as these. Your words help us provide a dwelling place for God.